Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4, a very familiar passage of Scripture to everyone here, I'm sure. And while we're turning, let's give our praise team a round of applause this morning. Praise God. Let's give one another a round of applause this morning. And we appreciate everything that everybody does to make these services what they need to be for the Lord. Philippians 4 and 4 says, rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I read that wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see now. This translation says, rejoice in the Lord when everything's going right.
No.
Still didn't get it right, did I? Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
And if that wasn't enough, he said, and again I say.
Rejoice.
You know how we preachers are, we repeat ourselves. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Skip down to verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Say in everything.
In everything.
By prayer and supplication. Now notice the phrase, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love the Amplified translation of verses 6 and 7. Do not fret. Say that with me. Do not fret. One more time. Do not fret. Or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace, which is wholeness, shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you today for this precious time of worship and praise and now the Word. And Lord, we come before you with open hearts, ready to receive the Word of God this morning. We thank you that it's anointed, and we receive it with anointed ears in our spirit man. And we covenant with you to do what we hear in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
I was sharing with Lynette earlier this week. Actually, it was Thursday. We were setting up the fellowship hall for today, setting up tables and getting everything ready. And I had the television on TBN. And there was a particular program on, and the host and his wife were interviewing this lady. She looked to be maybe 35 or so, maybe, and they were asking her about how she came to know the Lord, how, you know, her relationship with Christ began. And she said something that spoke to my spirit, and that's the basis of what I'm talking to you about today and probably tomorrow, I mean Wednesday night as well. Tomorrow's Monday, right. So I don't need a calendar. Amen. Glory to God. Every day Sunday to me. Praise the Lord. So anyhow, this lady, when she was asked, how did she come to know the Lord? She said, well, she said, I was raised in Southern California. When I was a young person, she said, I decided I wanted to know God and I wanted to seek God. And she said, I got involved in the New Age movement. Now, most of you know anything at all about New Age. You're not going to find God in the New Age movement. And anyhow, she went on and told about how she finally, you know, came to a place where she understood that Jesus Christ was the way. But when she said, I was seeking God, that struck a chord in my spirit. And I began to think about how Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So I began to research that, and I began to think about some of the things that the Lord said about praying. Now, you know the Bible said that Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray. Did you notice that he said that? So he's just given as a given that you're going to be a person who prays. Look at somebody and said, I am a prayer. You're one of the prayers, are you? He said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, because they think they'll be heard for their much talking. And he said, when you pray, he said, rather, go into your most private room. Now, you find this in the 6th chapter of Matthew, the 6th verse. He said they like to pray in the marketplace, the Pharisees and the religious scribes of his day. They like to be seen and heard of men. He said, but that's not the way I want you to pray. I want you to go into your most secret, your most private room, close the door, and pray to your Father. And your Father, which sees and hears in secret, will reward you openly. So a lot of times people love to make flowery prayers when everybody else is around because that, you know, makes them sound spiritual. But the most spiritual prayer you can have is to go into your private prayer closet. Amen. The Jews had a prayer shawl that they would wear. And when they would, when it'd be time for prayer, they would put that shawl totally over their head and almost all of their body. And that was their prayer closet. Now, there's a couple reasons they did that. Number one, shut out the distractions. So let's just say it's a given that Jesus expects us to pray. Amen? Do you believe that? But he started in the sixth chapter of Matthew, he said some things about, you know, he said, take no thought for some of the things that the heathen take thought for. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear and don't worry about what you're going to eat and where you're going to live. He said, for all the heathen, think about these things. He said, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of even before you ask him. So some people, you know, it would beg the question, well, if God already knows my need, why would he have me ask him? Well, he said, ask. Amen. And that's enough for me. Even though he knows, now listen, he knows your needs, but he still is encouraging you and I to ask him. Amen. Now, there's really only two major reasons when someone says, well, I prayed, but my prayers weren't answered. Now, I know there are ancillary reasons, but there are two major reasons why a person would say, well, I prayed, but my prayer wasn't answered. And that's found in the book of James. And it tells us that people pray for the wrong reason or they don't ask at all. James said, you have not because you
ask.
Well, that's a given, isn't it? Certainly, you wouldn't go to a restaurant and have the waitress put the menus down in front of you, and she says, what will you have today? And expect her to read your mind. Amen? You may end up with anything. You may end up with nothing, most likely. But you're going to make a selection. You're going to make a menu selection. You're going to ask the waitress to send a message back to the cook, and the cook's going to fix what you wanted, and you're going to get exactly what you asked for. Most of the time. Not all of the time. But sometimes we think, well, you know, God said, I've heard people say this. How many have heard Christian people say stuff that doesn't make any sense whatsoever? I've heard people say, well, you know, sometimes when you ask, God says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, wait a while. One guy said, God even said, huh? I don't believe any of that. Amen. Now, James said, you have not because you what? Or you ask amiss. Now, we don't use the word amiss a lot in Dorchester County, where I'm from, Vienna. Hee Haw salutes. But sometimes Christian people are asking for the wrong thing, and they're asking in the wrong way.
Amen.
What we need to learn how to do, and I say we because we all have this issue, we need to learn how to ask for the things that God says are ours in the Word of God. Ask for the right things and ask for the right reasons.
Amen.
And ask in the right way. Now let's say that again. Ask for the right things, for the right reasons, and for the right and in the right way. Let me give an example. I believe that God wants you to prosper and be in health. Do you believe that?
Yes.
The scripture says that in 3 John 2 and many other places that it's God's will that you and I prosper. Say prosper. And that means to enjoy life, not endure it. He wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul does prosper. Question is, why do you want to prosper? Do you want to prosper just, do I want to prosper just so I can drive a nicer car, live in a bigger home, eat a fancier meal? Or do I want to prosper in my spirit man and in my soul and in my body and in my finances, in my well-being, so that I can continue to be a greater blessing to those that God would call me to? See, the real reason that God wants to prosper you is that he may use you to be a blessing in somebody else's life. Steve Ingram, our friend in Florida, said, when God blesses you, He's got more than you on His mind. Why do you want to be in health? Why do you want to have health? And why do you want to have well-being in your physical body? Well, anybody that's ever had to endure a series of medical procedures or to endure a series of having doctor's appointments, one fellow said, oh, my black book is full of doctor's names. And so if you've ever had to go through something medically, you know you want to be well. Amen. Now, this body that you live in and that I live in is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that we have been bought with a price. Therefore, it tells us to glorify God, watch this, in our spirit and in our body. Thank you for your overwhelming enthusiasm. I have to take care of this body. Because it's the only body I'm going to have. And this body is the temple, the dwelling place, your body. Put your hand on your heart. Say, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, that's why I don't fill it with cigarette smoke. Uh-oh. That's why I don't drink. I drink coffee. That's probably a bad habit, but I don't seem to be able to want to break it. But I don't drink alcoholic beverage because, and listen, don't misunderstand me. Somebody said, well, will you go to hell if you drink? No, but it might get you there to heaven sooner. So my body, I need to make sure I keep my weight where it needs to be. One lady said every time she steps on the scale, she has a religious experience. She steps on there, looks at it and says, oh my God. I need to keep my body in good physical condition because it's the only body I'm going to have. And have you ever noticed that people that die don't function on the earth anymore because they have to have a body? So take care of your spirit, man. Take care of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. The renewing of your mind is a daily process. And if you want to live long and prosper on this earth, obey the word of God and you will live long and you will prosper. If I could do what Spock does, I'd do it, but I have trouble doing that. So why do you want to prosper? Why do you want to live in a healthy body? Why do you want to have a good family? We have to find out the real reasons for those things. The real reason why God wants you and I to have abundant life is very simply put, because we are a great, great representation of Jesus Christ when we're in good shape physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Thank you for your overwhelming enthusiasm. But Jesus said, don't be anxious for anything. In Matthew 6, He said, stop being anxious. Stop worrying. Actually, a lady told me one time, she said, Pastor, she said, if I didn't worry about things, I would feel irresponsible. Well, the truth of the matter is, how many of us have ever changed anything by worrying about it? I don't see a hand in the house. I was listening to Keith Moore. He has a new CD out. It's called The Joy of Faith. I got it in the mail. My wife listened to it twice. I'm on the first time through. On my way here today, he was talking about two fellows by the name of Terry Trial and Vic the Victor. These are hypothetical people. Terry Trial sees a trial in everything. Vic the Victor sees victory in everything. Amen. Both of them are climbing up the same hill. But you see, Terry Trial, he goes up the hill starting out at 20 miles an hour. And so because by the time he gets to the top of the hill, he's plumb wore out. But he went the rough side. Vic Victor, see, he came to the base of the hill going 98. And so when he got to the top of the hill, he's still doing 60. Amen? They both went up the same hill, but one of them got there a lot faster, a lot quicker, a lot easier, with a whole lot less pain than the other guy did. You know, the trials of life come to everybody. Amen. You know, we're not going to get... I got news for us all. We're not going to get out of here alive. Amen. Unless we go into rapture. Amen. But Jesus said, stop worrying. You read there in Matthew 6. He said, take no anxious thought. Stop worrying. Yeah. Don't be anxious about these things. Yeah. But what did he say? But you seek first. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You seek first. Everybody say, seek first.
Seek first.
Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Amplified says his ways of doing and being right. And then watch this, and all these things. These things that people worry about shall be what? Shall be added. So instead of seeking healing, for instance, seek the healer. Instead of seeking provision, seek the provider. Now, I want to talk to you about asking this morning. Asking for what God has already revealed in His Word is our redemptive rights. It's our covenant right. It's the things that God has not only promised, but He's made a statement of fact that they belong to us. Now, what happens to a lot of people is they ask amiss. Amen. They don't ask in faith. James said this, if any of you lacks wisdom. Say that with me, if any. If any of you lacks wisdom, he said, let him do what?
Ask
of God for what? Wisdom. But let him ask in faith. For he that doubteth, James said, is like a person who's tossed about by the wind and the waves. He allows his faith to waver. This man is double-minded, James said. He'll never receive anything because he's double-minded. Now, what does it mean to be double-minded? It's interesting that the word that says cast all of your care upon the Lord in 1 Peter chapter 5, the word care in the original Greek means to divide the mind. It means to have a distracted mind. So when I am being anxious and careful in the negative way, now listen, when I say don't have any care about anything, that doesn't mean you can play in the middle of Route 50 in summertime. And I'm not talking about the normal, you know, the care that you take to drive safely and watch out for the other guy and so forth and so on. But I'm talking about this anxious fear that comes on people. Matter of fact, there are two scriptures the Lord showed me, and I want to take the time to just give them to you this morning. One of them is in Proverbs 15 and verse 15. And it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. One translation of that says, all the days of the desponding and the despondent, filled with anxious thoughts and forebodings. That's Proverbs 15:15. For those of you that are taking notes, I have met so many people in my life that they cannot seem to get to a place where they're not upset about everything all the time. Whoa, it's going over big. Now listen, I know what it's like to sit up at night and look at my checkbook and try to find a dollar mistake somewhere in my favor. I know what it's like to worry, but I've learned how to stop doing that. I've learned how to cast my care and no longer have a divided mind. And when the enemy comes in and tries to fill your mind with the anxious thoughts, now here's what it'll sound like. Well, you're not going to make it this time. No matter what Pastor Jonathan Pastor Lynette said, you're done for this time. The devil's always wanting to write your obituary. But it's time you and I got up in the morning and said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll rejoice in the Lord, and I'll rejoice. No matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to rejoice. Because that's the way you're going to come out of that. But if you want to sit there and twiddle your thumbs and worry and eat bonbons all night long, you're never going to get any better. I need to get another message. You all don't like this one. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to help me this morning. Proverbs 12:25 says, heaviness in the heart of a man will make it stoop, but a good word, somebody say a good word, will make it glad. The one translation I read, I think the message says, an encouraging word. You know, when Barnabas was, when he met Paul, he understood he had a ministry to Paul, and his very name means son of encouragement. And I've preached about this in the past. Every one of us in this place, it's one time or another in our life, have needed somebody to encourage us. Amen? And then sometimes the shoe's on the other foot, God's using you to encourage someone else. And literally what encourage means is to be, E-N means to be filled with, courage. And courage is another word for faith. So when you're encouraging somebody, you are depositing a good word of faith into their hearts. Now, people will ask, you know, and they'll say, well, you know, I asked the Lord for this or I asked the Lord for that, and He didn't answer my prayer. Well, we have to find out why that prayer we prayed seemingly, and I use the word seemingly very, very carefully, because I'm about to make a statement that's probably going to shock a lot of religious people. Bible prayer, prayed the Bible way, will always be answered by God. If you pray God's word in faith, God's not a man that he should lie. Are you listening? See, some people say, yeah, well, I know the word's true, but. Well, they need to get off their butt. We need to get off of that. The children of Israel did the same thing when God sent them out to scout out the promised land. They came back and said, it's just like God said it was, but. They said, there's giants over there. Well, you know, if there was an opposition to the plan of God, everybody'd be thrilled, everybody'd be well, everybody'd be prosperous, everybody'd be saved. But there's a real devil out there. Amen? And he's going to do everything he can to try to defeat you in your prayer life, in your church life, in your love life, in your family life, in your work life. He's working 24/7. See, one of the things a lot of Christian people, we don't get this, is the devil never sleeps either. And he never, ever quits. The thing about Smith Wigglesworth, they said that he never said anything unkind about anything or anybody. He would never be critical. Somebody said to him one time, said, Smith, I don't even think you even got anything. You probably even have something good to say about the devil. He said, well, he is a persistent cuss. And so he's working 24/7 and we're giving God an hour or two a week. See, that's why my Christianity has to go past churchianity. Now, I'm all for the church. I believe in the church. I believe in the assembling of the saints. I believe in getting together in corporate worship. But if all you have is churchianity, if all we have is just what we get on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or somebody that we watch on TV, the devil's working 24/7. That's why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. That's why he said, be in everything, give thanks. Over there in Philippians, he said, do not fret. Do not have any anxiety about anything, but in everything, with prayer, now watch, and supplication, with thanksgiving. See, one of the missing ingredients in a lot of our asking is that we're not giving God thanks and praise in advance of a manifestation. The children of Israel, when they got on the other side of the Red Sea, sang a redemption song. The only problem was they were singing that song on the wrong side. They waited until they got to the other side to sing the song of victory. Morris Chapman said, you got to learn to sing the song of redemption on this side. See, the children of Israel shouted about Jericho's walls coming down while Jericho's walls were still up. Years ago when Christian Harfouche used to come to our church, great man of God, solidly anointed. I don't think I've ever been around too many people that were as anointed as he is. And we had a healing service one night. The Spirit of God was moving. We were over in Shopper's World. And this man came up and he said, oh God, and he got real loud, you know. Oh God, if you'll just heal me, I'll praise you. And I thought, dear Lord, who wouldn't? I thought, dear Lord. Who wouldn't? But you see, God wants us to praise Him and give Him thanks on this side of the miracle. That's where real faith is. When you lift your hands and thank God that you're healed long before you ever feel any different. You lift your hands and you give God praise that you're no longer depressed while you're still tempted to feel sad, busted, and disgusted. You lift your hands and praise Him before the money comes in. Hallelujah. You lift your hands and glorify God before mama starts acting right. Oh me. Or daddy, as the case may be. I want you to go to 1 Samuel with me this morning, if you would, real quickly. Somebody say, ask for the right thing, for the right reason, and ask in the right way. This is the story of Hannah. Most of you know this story. So I'm not going to read the entire story, but it goes like this in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. Verse number 10 is where I'll start. Hannah, notice it said, now I'm reading the Amplified. She was in distress of soul, praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. Now let's get the picture. Here's Hannah. She is depressed. She's discouraged because she doesn't have a child. And you see, a Jewish woman that didn't have a child was considered to be cursed. It was a big deal, particularly if she didn't have a son. So that's a big deal. Everybody say it's a big deal. But I wanted you to see that she was in distress of soul. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of us have ever been in a similar situation where we desperately wanted and needed something from God and it had not yet happened? Come on now. We were tempted to be distressed. We were tempted to be discouraged. We were tempted to look like a Missouri mule with a sad face. And if anybody asked us how we were doing, we'd unload on them. This is where she was. She was in distress of soul. But notice, in her distress, she was praying to the Lord. She didn't quit. She vowed, saying, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction, which that was what it was considered, of your handmaid, and earnestly remember, and not forget your handmaid, but will give me a son. Now notice this. If you will give me a son, I will give him to the Lord. She's asking for the right thing for the right reason. She wants a son that she can dedicate, as you will, to the Lord. So she said, if you will give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all of his life. No razor shall touch his head. In other words, he'll take the vow of a Nazarite. And as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli, the priest, noticed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Eli wasn't too swift. Eli said to her, how long will you be intoxicated? Put away your wine. But Hannah answered and said, no, Lord. My Lord, I am a woman, now watch, of a sorrowful spirit. Do you see the condition she's in? I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I was pouring out my soul before the Lord. Every one of us can relate to that. I can tell you about night season prayers I've been in. When I've just been there in the living room with my Bible and just me and the Lord. And just praying about stuff and weeping before the Lord. And my mind's wanting to say, what's going on and why is this happening and how am I going to get out of this? And y'all look really holy right this minute. This is where Hannah is. She's in a very sorrowful, distressing situation. And she said, don't regard your handmaid as a wicked woman, for out of my great complaint and bitter provocation I have been speaking. Now notice Eli had sense enough to say something good to her. He gave her an encouraging word, like we talked about in Proverbs. Then Eli said, go in peace, or wholeness, and may the God of Israel grant your petition, which you've asked of him. Now, if you know anything about Eli, he wasn't the most spiritual priest of his day. He let his sons just do terrible things. He wasn't a highly spiritual priest. But the word of the Lord came through him to Hannah. It was an answer to her prayer. And you're going to see in verse 18 how she responded. Now listen, when you pray and you believe that God has heard your prayer, here's how you respond. Are you listening? Yes. Hannah said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So she went her way and her countenance was no longer sad. When you believe God's heard your prayer, put on a happy face. I love that movie with Tommy Lee Jones. He said, put on your happy face. He said, this is my happy face. When you know that God has heard your prayer, quit being sad. Amen. Put on your happy face. Amen. Look at somebody and say, put on your happy face. Somebody told Abraham Lincoln, a lady told Abraham Lincoln one time, said, President Lincoln said, you're two-faced. He said, ma'am, if I was two-faced, would I be wearing this one? So her countenance was no longer sad. Now watch what happens. The family rose early the next morning and worshiped. So now we have two things that have happened. Now that Hannah has prayed, she's asked for the right thing, she's asked for the right reason, and she's asking the right way. And her response is to believe that her prayer has been heard. So she takes off that sad countenance. She throws that thing aside. She puts on her happy face. And the very next morning, she and her family go to worship God. One of the most wonderful things you can do to show God that you believe He's answering your prayers is worship Him. Let's practice. Amen. Lift your hands and worship Him. Come on, lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing our prayer. She worshiped the Lord. Now, after they worshiped, they returned to their home and acted on God's word. Amen. Elkanah knew. That doesn't mean he introduced himself. That, you know what it means. And the Lord remembered her. And Hannah became pregnant. Now here's a key. In due time. Now, this is a side journey, but it's important. There's a period of time between amen and there it is. Now I believe God's compressing that time. Because we are entering into a season of signs and wonders. Been prophesied, and I believe this. The Spirit of God is being poured out in great measure all over the earth. But there's always a period of time between the amen and the there it is. And it's between that period of time, that due season, that you gotta watch your mouth. You gotta watch what you say. You gotta, if you're tempted to doubt, don't verbalize it. Well, if I'm thinking it, it's just as bad as saying it. Not true. Because when you say it, you're giving it power. That's why Jesus said, take no anxious thought saying. Because that's the way you take a thought, by saying it. I get you all around here to say certain things. It's not just to keep you awake, that's part of it. But the reason I get you to say these things is I want you to get into the habit of saying what God says instead of what the world's saying. So in due season or in due time, she bore a son and named him Samuel, which means asked or heard of God, because she said, I have asked him of the Lord. And it goes on and tells us that they went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice. But Hannah did not go, for she said to her husband, I will not go until the child is weaned. So that would mean probably 2 to 3 years old. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there as long as he lives. So now she is fulfilling her vow. Now, I'm not a big fan of trying to bargain with God. All right? A lot of people try to make deals with God. Well, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. You know, if you'll do this, I'll serve you, whatever. Go ahead and just serve Him. Amen. Come on, just go ahead and say, I'm a servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm yours to command. See, that's where real joy will begin, when you realize that you're His child. And He's got a plan for your life. But when you make a vow to the Lord, make sure you keep it. Amen. And that's about all I got to say about that. Ecclesiastes tells us, don't be rash to make a vow. So she made a vow to God, and she says, I'm going to keep this vow. Now, here's a side journey again. No second offering for this. This is what she's wanted. This has been her heart's desire. But she's willing to give what God gave her back to Him. Why do you want to prosper? Why do you want to be healthy? My wife's already told me. She's already forbid me to leave ahead of her. And I told her, let's just both stay here till the rapture. Be all right with me. I got 4 plots over there at Spring Hill you can buy if you'd like to have them. I'm not planning on using either one of them. Glory to God. So here she says, I will give him to the Lord. So she does this. Do what seems best to you, her husband said. Wait until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So when she had weaned him, she took him with her and so forth. And Hannah says to Eli, as your soul is, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed. How many believe that Hannah prayed the right kind of prayer, the right kind of way, for the right reason? And the Lord has granted my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have given him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord, and they worship the Lord there. They're worshiping him, not just because God answered their prayer, but they were worshiping him because they could give back to God. See, one of the reasons that God wants you to prosper in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body is so that you have something to give back into the kingdom of God. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your energy. I'm talking about your abilities. I'm talking about your talent. The things that God is doing in your life, that you might take those to wherever God would send you. In the book of Psalms chapter 2, the writer said, speaking from God's viewpoint, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations, Lee. I'll give you the nations. You know that scripture, Psalms 2:8. He said, ask of me, I'll even give you the people groups. When's the last time you and I asked God for Salisbury? When's the last time we asked God for Fruitland? When's the last time we asked God for Delmar? When's the last time we said, God, let there be a revival in our city? Let every church in our community be so filled with the power of God that people won't be able to stay home on Sundays. They won't be able to stay home on Wednesday nights. Ask of me, he said. Ask for the right reason and ask in the right way. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3, please. This is another story of someone who prayed the right kind of prayer in the right kind of way for the right reason. We know about King Solomon, David's son Solomon. Solomon was a king that never had to fight a war. His very name means peace. And in the very early days of Solomon's life and in his kingdom, we find this story in 1 Kings 3 and 5. It's in other places as well, but this is the one I have highlighted. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said to him, now watch this, ask what I shall give unto you. Just imagine that was you. Just imagine that that was me or you. We're lying there in bed and we have a night vision. And God shows up and says, ask of me what I shall give you. Do you have any idea what you'd ask for? Huh? You know, some people, their prayers are wandering generalities instead of meaningful specifics. Brother Hagin used to say people would come up to him and say, pray for me. And he'd say, what for? And they'd say, nothing in particular. And he said, well, that's what you'll get. Nothing in particular. Amen. You ever had anybody come up to you and say, pray for me? Amen. Huh? Yeah. And you say, what for? Well, I don't know. Just pray for me. Well, what do you want me to pray for you? Amen. Somebody came to Brother Hagin one time and said, I want you to pray for me and I'll have no more problems. He said, you want me to pray that you'll die? Our prayers have got to be meaningful. They've got to be word-based. They've got to be based on the Word of God. When we ask, now see, Jesus said in Matthew 7, ask, Amplified says, and keep on asking. Now, some people have misinterpreted that thinking that asking and begging are the same thing. You're a child of the King. You're not to beg. We are not to beg because we're a child of the King. And so often, our prayer life will go over into, won't you please, God? Won't you please? Please, God. Oh, God. You look really holy right this minute. Oh, please, God. Can't you see how I'm suffering? Can't you see how this situation is just, oh, please, God, please. That's begging. And we're not beggars. Are you listening to me? We're children of the Most High God. We ask. We believe we receive. And then we give Him praise. And after we've asked and we believe we receive, our continual asking, if we continue to ask and ask and ask, it says we really don't believe we received. So if I'm going to ask for the Lord to heal me, I'm going to say, Father, I need healing in such and such a part of my body. I believe I receive it and I give you praise for it. I thank you for it. Now, if that symptom persists, I'm going to pray like this. Lord, I thank you that I prayed last Sunday. And I believe that I received, and I'm standing on your word that your healing is taking place in my body. I'm not going to say, oh Lord, I thought I prayed last week and I thought you healed me, but I guess you didn't because I just killed my prayer. Now I'm being blunt, but I don't have a whole lot of time, and I just have to tell us why we're missing it sometimes. And I said this Wednesday night, Sister Davis knew enough to know she wasn't the one, that she was the one missing it. It wasn't God. So here's God, He appears to Solomon in a dream and says, ask what I'll give to you. Man, imagine that. Let me just ask you, don't shout out loud. If that happened to you, what would you ask for? Oh, Lord, give me $1 million. Well, once you've gone through that, you'd have to have another million. You know what happens to a person who prospers on the outside, who doesn't prosper on the inside first? They'll go right through their fingers. It'll go in no time. Anybody who's ever got a big inheritance from, you know, somebody in your family, your uncle, doodad, you know, whoever. If you haven't prospered on the inside, I don't care how much money comes into your life, it won't be long before you'll be broke again. Because you got to prosper inside first. Somebody said, well, I'd like to give that a try. Well, prosper inside. See? One time the Lord asked Reinhard Bonnke, similar question, what would you like? Reinhard Bonnke said, I'd like millions of souls, not millions of dollars. See, because that's where his heart was. So here's Solomon. He has this vision from God. And Solomon said, you have shown, verse 6, to your servant David, my father, great mercy, loving kindness, as he walked before you in faithfulness. You have kept for him this great kindness and steadfast love, and you have given him a son, in other words, Solomon, to sit on his throne. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father. Now watch what he says. And I am but a lad in wisdom and experience. I do not know how to go out to begin or to come in and finish. Your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people which cannot be counted for multitude. So God, give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge and rule this, your great people? Boy, I want you to hear this. Solomon didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He said, God, I don't know how to do this. Give me the wisdom to do what you've called me to do. Give me the wisdom to fulfill my position, my role in your kingdom. God, I don't know how to do this, but you do. Give me your wisdom. Amen. That's why Solomon was known as the greatest king in pertaining to wisdom of all the kings of Israel. But I want you to hear what God said. God was so pleased. He said, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for fame, because you didn't ask for wealth and honor, because you didn't even ask for the lives of your enemies, he said, I'll not only give you the wisdom you asked for, but I'll give you all the rest of it beside. Isn't that exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, Solomon wanted to do what God would have him do, and that was the most important thing in his life. Did he ask the right question? Did he make the right kind of prayer? Did he pray the right prayer for the right reason? And did he do it in the right way? That's why he got an answer. See, there's really no such thing, and I hesitate to say this, but there's really no such thing as a Bible-based, unanswered prayer. Oh, I know that shocks religious people. If you were here Wednesday night, I talked about that man who brought his son to the disciples in Mark chapter 9. And he had a demon spirit, easy for me to say. And when Jesus came down from the mountain, he'd been praying. And he saw this great tumult and this arguing going on. He said, what's going on here? And the master, the fellow said to the Lord Jesus, he said, I brought my son to your disciples because he has a devil and epileptic fits and so forth. And he said, and they could not deliver him. They could not cast the devil out. Which leads me to believe that they believed they could and tried, but they weren't successful. And so Jesus says, how long has this been going on? He said, ever since he was a child. He said, but if you can do anything, this is what the man said to Jesus. If you can do anything, help us. You know what Jesus said? It's not if I can do it. It's can you believe it? And I love the honesty of this man. I love his honesty. He said, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Amen. That's a good, honest answer. Amen. Now, what's the antidote to unbelief? The Word of God. Amen. Get enough of the Word of God in you, and it'll drive the unbelief right out of your life. Amen. And so Jesus cast the devil out of that boy, but I want you to see something in Mark 9:28. The disciples came to Jesus and said, how come? They asked a question. Jesus said, ask. So he said, how come we couldn't do that? Which means they believe they should have been able to do it. How come we couldn't do that? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out with a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus didn't go off and pray and fast before he did it. He's living a lifestyle. Listen, when you have been with Jesus and you're spending time with God and you're worshiping God and your faith level is high, there's no devil in hell or on earth that's a match for you. You didn't hear what I said. There's no problem that can defeat you if you've been spending time with Jesus. I give you power and authority, Jesus said, over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt or harm you. See, that's the question they asked. And he said, that's why you couldn't do it. In Luke 18, 35, 36, there's blind Bartimaeus, and he's sitting by the wayside, and he hears this tumult. He hears these people coming by, a lot of noise and everything. And he says, What is the meaning of this? What is all this noise? You see, he couldn't see, but he could hear. What's all this noise going on? What's the tumult? What's the reason for this? That's what it says. And the disciples said, this is Jesus of Nazareth who's coming by. And he, rising up and casting off his garment, it tells us. Why did he do that? Because you see, blind people wore a garment that identified them as beggars. And so when he got up and he cast off his garment, he was saying, I'm not going to need that anymore. That's what he was saying. He was saying, I'm going to the Master and I'm not going to be blind anymore. And listen, my brother, sister, we need to make such a tumult. We need to make so much spiritual noise that people say, what meaneth this? Signs and wonders and miracles and healings and deliverances and prayers answered and lives change and destinies change, and the people like blind Bartimaeus say, what meaneth this? And then when they heard it was Jesus. Listen, when God does something for you and somebody says, how come? Tell them about Jesus. This precious lady over here, we met at Macy's many, many years ago, buying one of my many coats. She always knew what I liked. Well, she wasn't coming to our church at that time. And we got talking with her. And she asked something about our life. And I said, you see how beautiful this woman is? She said, yeah. I said, how do you think a man looks like me got that? She didn't say anything. She's trying to be diplomatic. She's trying to make a sale, you understand. And I told her, it's what the Lord did. And I told her about how the Lord answered my prayer for a mate. Some of you heard my testimony. Man, I'm telling you, I prayed on a Saturday night and said amen. And on Tuesday, there it is. Don't tell me God can't change things in just a matter of days. He took me from lonely to happy. But see, I witnessed to her in my own way. And that drew her interest. And I see her and her husband been a part of our church all these years. See that? She's thinking, what meaneth this? I'm not saying she wasn't saved. I'm just saying that that was the interaction. See, you need to live such a life that when people look at you, they think, what meaneth this? How can somebody 55 or older be this full of joy,
Amen.
Not need a wheelchair,
Amen.
Not need a walker?
Amen.
What meaneth this? See that?
Amen.
You walk into a place where everybody's mad and you got a great big old Cheshire grin on your face, look like a Cheshire cat. People look at you and say, what meaneth this? Ask and it shall be given you, Jesus said. He didn't say ask and sometimes the answer will be no. He didn't say that. He didn't say ask and sometimes it'll be wait a while. Now, I understand that we have to know the seasons and the time. I understand all that. But if there is a period of time between the amen and there it is, I'm going to keep on praising Him.
Amen.
And I'm not going to entertain doubts about not hearing my prayer. That's what Peter was talking about when he said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. 1 Peter 3:15. Set the Lord apart as holy in your heart and always be ready to give an answer to any man that asks of you of the reason for your hope. Now may the God of hope, Paul said in Romans 15, fill you with all joy and hope in your believing. See, our faith is to be filled with the joy of the Lord. We're not to go around looking like sad sacks and somebody says, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm believing God. Jesus said, up to this time, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask in my name and you shall receive and your joy shall be full. So when we ask for the right things. We ask for the things that we find in the Word of God that belong to us. We ask for the right reason. And we ask in the right way. Amen. This is why Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I will answer you. Yeah. There's no ambiguity about that. Call unto me, and I will answer you.
Amen.
But see, how do you call? You call according to this book.
Amen.
If you're dealing with something in your life, spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally, Brother Hagin used to teach, find the scriptures that cover your case. Don't find just one or two. Find as many as you can find. If you're believing God for healing, you can go online and find the healing scriptures. Brother Copeland's got tremendous resources on just the healing scriptures. Dodie Osteen was diagnosed, that's Joel's mama, was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer and given 2 weeks to live in 1980. One of her sons, his name is Paul, saw the test, saw the lab reports and the MRIs. He's a medical doctor. He went out into the room, out of the room, into the hallway and wept uncontrollably because he knew his mama had just received a death sentence. They wanted to, you know, it's amazing. They say you got 2 weeks to live and then they want to pump you full of radiation and chemo. This guy said he went to the doctor and the doctor gave him 6 months to live. Said, what happened? I couldn't pay my bill. He gave me 6 more months. Dodie Osteen, she said, no. She said, I don't want any treatments. I just want to go home. John and I are going to go home. That's Joel's father. And she said, I went and I got my Bible out and I started finding all the healing scriptures. And there's many things she did. She asked the Lord, if I've offended anybody, let me know and I'll write a letter of apology. She did everything she knew how to do. But the thing that she did was she found a whole bunch of healing scriptures. And every morning, instead of lying there in her nightgown, she got up and put her clothes on. Because healed people get out of bed. I said, healed people get out of bed. And she got up every morning and she put her clothes on, put her makeup on, fixed her hair, and she started reading her healing scriptures. And she read them out loud so she could hear these healing scriptures. And she kept reading them and reading them and reading them and reading them. And then a week went by and 2 weeks went by and 3 weeks went by and 4 weeks went by. She's already supposed to be cold in the grave. She's still living. And I got news for you. That was 1980. And now it's 2016 and she's still alive because you see, God's Word had the answer. And she didn't pray, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me of liver cancer. You stand on the Word of God. You find the Scriptures that cover your case, whether it be healing, whether it be finances, whether it be a family situation, whether it be a ministry situation. You find the Scriptures, you pray those Scriptures, you call it done, and don't ever say anything else but that. Let me give you an example. Lord, I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And from this day forward, I'll never say anything other than that. My mother-in-law did that. She said, Lord, I don't understand this just yet. You know, you don't have to understand all of God's Word to make it work. I don't really understand how a black and white cow can eat green grass that gives white milk that turns into yellow butter, but I'm still going to enjoy the milk and the butter. I don't understand how a V8 engine that has pistons going this way can turn a transmission that goes that way that'll cause wheels to go this way and that way. But you know what? I'm going to get in my car and drive it into hell. Somebody said, well, I just don't understand. You don't have to understand all the nuances. Just take the Word for what it is. By His stripes you were healed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm equal to anything. I'm up to anything through Him who infuses me with His strength. And you stand on God's Word no matter what comes against your mind. Don't take that thought. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Jeremiah said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which up to this time you have no clue about. God is wanting to do some of those great and mighty things in our life. And it's time to start asking and asking properly. lot of folks, again, and I'm closing, they don't receive because, you see, they've asked in the past and they didn't see anything happen, so they just figured it doesn't work for them. Let me tell you that if you'll ask for the right thing, and you'll ask for the right reason, and you'll ask the right way, you will receive. Did you get anything out of this morning? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Stand up on your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise this morning.